हवामहे कविं कवीनामुपमश्रवस्तमं ज्येष्ठराजं ब्रह्मणां ब्रह्मणस्पत आनश्रृण्वन् वृत्तिभिः सीदसादनम् ॐ श्रीमहागणपतये नमः सदाशिवसमारम्भां शङ्कराचार्यमध्यमाम् अस्मदाचार्यपर्यन्तां वन्दे गुरुपरम्पराम् ॐ सहनाभवतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यङ्करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्ति। Get yourself prepared for a short nididhyasana. Gathering your attention. Through breathing, through being still, I bring myself to be more present. So when I want to withdraw, look into the self, then I can first of all notice my attention is going out through the senses, outwards. So instead of having the senses take me out, I absorb the objects back into the senses, meaning I hear the sound. Instead of saying, I hear the sound, I'm aware of the hearing. Now the attention is with the hearing. It's not going out to the objects outside. I'm just with the hearing. Doesn't matter what object is making the sound, because I'm observing the hearing, not the object. Similarly, if I had my eyes open, then my eyes are going out to the different objects. Instead, I observe the seeing. In this way, the objects get merged back into the senses, as it were. Sense of touch throughout the body. instead of the attention going outwards, here it's a little painful, here it's comfortable, I'm just observing sensations, observing the touch. So the objects are absorbed this way into the senses. Then I can take another step, now where are the senses located? I observe the hearing, meaning this hearing thought. I observe the seeing. There is seeing thought. I observe the touch, smell or taste. Meaning there is touch, smell or taste thought. This way the senses get absorbed into the mind. Now there is only thought. I absorb myself further, there is thought, there is mind. I'm aware of the mind, aware of the thoughts. The thoughts are also now external to me. I'm aware of them. In the light of the awareness, the thoughts appear, disappear. Just the awareness itself. There's nowhere else to absorb to. How can I absorb further? There's only the awareness. Sargastiti pralayahetumachintya shaktim Vishveshwaram Vishwami Vishveshwaram Vidita Vishwamanantamurtim Nirmukta Bandhanamapara Sukhamburashim Shri Vallabham Vimalabodhakanam Namami. Spotlight myself, but then I also make it that I can see everybody. Very good. So last week, the text discussed that when this is pointed out, when I see tadatmyam, the oneness, then the two things that automatically go away, then and then alone. So at that point, when I see the oneness, these go away. They don't go away any other way. Is it said abrahmatvam and parokshatvam. So abrahmatvam, that I am something limited. I'm this limited individual. That idea goes away. And like we know how it goes away because we experience deep sleep, so we have an idea about how it is when it's gone. But the thing is, that's just an experience that we know, we recollect. I recollect, oh, I slept so well. And if I look back to, and I analyze it, yes, I was an individual, I didn't feel any limitation, I didn't carry all this burden, etc. But here it becomes clear. As we said, like Hastamalaka Acharya, just like the berry in the hand, it's clear, this is what it is. So it's same for somebody who sees this clearly, it's clear like that. So that's one thing that goes away. Second thing is Parokshatvam. Parokshatvam. That actually parokshyatvam, I think, is what it was called. In any case, meaning the otherness. Not just that I think that the God is somewhere there. There is that, we say that, because it's not something here. I don't see the God here. But yeah, there's some God, there's some source of everything behind everything that I can't access, that is formless, or I can even have an idea that it's in some place like heaven, I'll go there, blah, blah, and find it. This idea that it's somewhere, there is something behind everything, is gone because I know that I'm the one behind it. there's no other there. When I'm not limited, how can there be something outside of it? So this other idea that is somewhere goes away. And actually, what keeps us running and running in samsara, that there is that. There is something there that when I get there, yes, I will. Now I'm going to be there, stable, happy. Right? It could be and I get to something, worldly thing. I get to some career goal. I get to some relationship goal. Now I'm married, I have family, now I'll be there. Something like this. Then it could be some religious idea. When I do enough of this puja, I do enough, I get enough punya, enough merit. When I learn enough of these things, then. And then even philosophically, yes, I will see that God, I will merge into that one which is behind everything. These are all ideas that are then negated. The idea is negated. So there's a certain feverish thing I need to get there. In Gita, Sri Krishna uses the term vigatajvaraha. You'll be all the fever, the worry in this, gone. Because I think it's something somewhere I will get that. Gone, because what's there to get to? There's nothing to get to. I am. What I'm looking for is what I am. There's nothing to look for. What I'm looking for out there is an idea, right? Actually, what we did in the meditation, if we really do with understanding, the objects really get absorbed in the senses. Because object is really, and it's in the senses, meaning I'm seeing, there is seeing. object. The mind is making it an object, right? Seeing is sensation, touch is sensation, hearing is sensation. Those are sensations. Mind then puts together the world, says this is, oh yeah, this is object. But think of it, without the senses, where would that object be? Without the mind put into this. So really, in understanding, there's no object, there's just the sensation. And then there's no sensation really without thought. Where, you know, I hear. If there's no thought behind the hearing, there's no hearing. I see. If the mind isn't behind, I'm very busy listening closely to something. Somebody's sitting right in front of me, I won't notice because my mind is with the hearing. With the hearing, we're thinking something. So the thought has to be there. It's really thought. And where's the thought without awareness? Let's say somebody's in a coma, right? They're keeping the body alive, so there's so what happens is there are thought waves. Thought waves meaning thought. But there's no awareness behind them because the person is in coma, a person has passed away, they keep the body alive. There's thought without the awareness, right? Theoretically, we don't know how that is. But really for me, awareness is there. Without the awareness, how can the thought be there? Can't be. So then, really thought, awareness is behind it. So then, at first, okay, there's thought and awareness. Yeah, there's a slight duality there, just, you know, stay as awareness, and that also you see is just something that appears within the awareness. Like this. It's not like the blueness appears in the sky. You know, we know it's just one sky, one space. So like this. So in any case, so that otherness and my limitation, that other and the idea there's otherness, both of those dissolve together. This is pointing at. So of course the Mahavakya discussed here, Tattvamasi, it has to start with somewhere that we're familiar. I'm familiar, I'm this one. Okay. And touch. There is outside meaning there's world. There's something behind this. There is something universe. It's be compartmentalized, but it is one universe. There's something then behind it. Okay. So duality, I and not I. So we have to start with that. And then it keeps looking into so that we see eventually negate this whole idea of the separation. So that these two go away. The paroksha-tvam, the otherness, or that it's somewhere, and the idea of I as some limited entity. Let's continue on here. We're in number 42 now. Tattvamasyadi vakyam cha tadatmya pratipadane lakshyau tattvam padarthau dvau upadhaya pravartate. Here, dvau became dvavu, padaya. That's actually how the semi-vowels are born. Say e and then a, right? E and a becomes ya, e a e a e a ya. So u a o becomes dva urva. So that's why dvavu padaya is dvau upadaya. That's how it happens. In Sanskrit, it's codified. In like in English, it's not codified, but it happens. In Sanskrit, it's codified. So in any case, sentences such as you're that, etc., are engaged in order to convey the identity of what is indirectly indicated by the words you and that. So as we discussed, when you have a sentence, there's the primary meaning, or vachyartha, and there is the implied meaning, lakshyarta. This from the beginning of the text, we were discussing this. And the way that it, why, then you'll say, why they're taking up lakshyarta? Why lakshyarta? Take vachyarta, take the direct meaning, like this, right? So the thing is, you'll take the direct meaning and we'll say, San Francisco won the tournament. So says, oh, San Francisco beat New York, or beat Washington, right? Okay. So I'm going to go, and what'll I do? I'm going to go and make a garland to go all around all of San Francisco, right? Give a medal to all of San Francisco. Say, no. It's the team from San Francisco, the team from New York. Oh, like that. How come you didn't say that? No, you have to take the implied meaning. Oh, why should I take the implied meaning? Because the other one doesn't make sense, right? So, when the direct meaning doesn't make sense, we automatically take the implied meaning. That's what happens. So here, same way. You are that, right? You, and you the direct meaning, this person, born on this and this a date, right? Having these and these qualities, you know, maybe being very capable, but compared to the whole universe, very small, and can only do so little. And maybe I'm very smart in certain things, but compared to the whole knowledge possible in the world, it's, you know, nothing compared to that. And what's behind this whole world? Since it's cause of everything, it's all-pervading, all-powerful, all-knowing, the knowingness behind everything. So how can this one be that? It doesn't make sense otherwise. As certain religious people say, you're that is blasphemy. How do you say you're that? Because not understanding what they're taking the direct meaning. And you say, what do you mean by blasphemy? What do you understand from this sentence? And they say what they understand. They say, yes, that's not what I mean. That's not it. That doesn't work. It's an equation. That equation doesn't work. So you have to take the implied meaning. There's no other way to do it. So it uses this method of the implied meaning you're already used to doing. It's not something new to us, okay, in this way. So how do we do it? Then we have to look when we took the example, sports game, San Francisco, then you knock off a lot of San Francisco and just take one small part of it. One small part, some team, play it from some sport in San Francisco, you narrowed it down. Right? You narrow down to something implied like this. Okay? So here also you narrow it down to what is implied. So I have to knock off what is unnecessary for this. Okay, this is the methodology that's being used. Let's read the next verse too, because they both go together, because it says, okay, you take the two, but then how do you do that implied meaning? What do you mean? How am I going to knock those off? So it tells about it here also. So let's read this next one because they go together. Hitwa dwa shabala vachyao. Vakyam vakyartha bodhane. Yatha pravartate smabhihi. Tatha vyakyatam adarat. It has been explained by us, keeping in mind the essence of what the sentence means, having discarded the meaning endowed with attributes. So that's how you do it. You have to drop the attributes. The attributes get in the way, you have to drop. Once you drop them, then you see the same. Right? So and this is the methodology used. Just like the example we gave, Soyam Devadattaha, this is that Devadatta. So somebody you knew back in the good old days when you went to high school, named Devadatta, for 20, 30 years you didn't see. Now you meet the person again, you're not sure who they are, and your wife says, you don't see who this is. You're not this, that, this is that Devadatta. Then you notice, oh yes, this one here, this middle-aged fellow, is the same as that young fellow that I knew before. This overweight one with glasses and balding, or whitish hair, is same as that young one that was skinny and fit and, you know, full brown or black hair. Right? This one that I'm seeing here in this time and place is same as that in a different time and place. So when you do this, they're automatically, these conflicting attributes are knocked off. here shabala. Shabala can be attributes, also can mean impurity, because you clear off the impurity, because there's the impurity, meaning the impurity, because it doesn't belong to it, to what my essential self, it doesn't belong to it. And as long as I take it as part of me, I take it as impurity, because, you know, it as though makes self impure, meaning as though makes the self limited and brings about suffering, right? And brings pain in this way. So that's why those on both sides of the equation I put aside, I drop. So when I look at myself, these are things I need to do, the inquiry I have to do. Okay, I look at myself, so I have to put aside what is not the essential part that I have to put aside, or I cannot see this oneness. So I take the body, and am I this body? Something I have to take up. I can't just leave for some idea. Yes, yeah, Vedanta says I'm not the body. Yeah, yeah, it's a good idea. Yeah, and it points out, it explains it like this. Very good. And then I leave it at that. Something to inquire into, to look into. And then am I the body? Why do I think I'm the body? Do I think about, do I inquire into, can I, is it possible I'm not the body? Yeah. And why do I take myself to be it? This is mananam I have to do. I'm aware of the body. What, Dhrikdisha Viveka, what is aware, and what is your, the subject and object, or the perceiver perceived, are not the same. I'm aware of the body. How can I be the body from the one aware of it? How can I be? But maybe here, maybe there. At least it gives some doubt. I'm not sure. Maybe this, maybe that. At least I'm starting. You know, like the scientist. Yeah, it seems to be this way, not the other way. Yeah, I'm not sure. So at least it opens the door to that. But then I have to look into. Nobody else can look into other than me, right? Not that, Vedanta says, so I believe Vedanta. Yes, I'm not the body, but belief is one thing and understanding another, directly looking into. So I have to do that. So when I say I'm alive, I'm a living being, then living being is beyond just the body. What we did, the exercise already, I'm thinking. I'm aware. So like this, slowly, slowly withdrawing through understanding. Because if it's not through understanding, like the meditation we did, I can observe it and it feels nice, I feel more expansive. But the thing is, the understanding isn't there. If the understanding's not there, then a few moments later the identification comes back, right? The habit comes back, because the habit. So I have to really look into it. This is the thing. I have to keep looking into. Because Vedanta says, you're the pure awareness. At least some of the time I can see that I'm the pure awareness. That's important. Some of the time I can see, then meaning the other times, it's just because the awareness is somehow reflecting the body-mind. And then I see the reflection, I identify with the reflection. That's really nice. So just, it's going through the conditioning, right? The reflected consciousness, and then I take myself as that. That's really all that's going on. Okay. So Sri Ramakrishna gave a nice example that when you have the onion, right? It's like you have the orange, you peel it, you peel off the peel, and you have the orange, you can eat it, and that's it. But the onion's a little different, right? It has that very thin peel, but if you take the onion and start peeling one layer, right? Peeling another layer, peeling, start peeling and peeling. Once you finish peeling, what's left? The whole space is left. It was covering the whole space, right? Wasn't it? And it, because when you peel, and what's left is the space. So you peel beyond these layers that seem to be very limiting, and what's left is the space. Very nice example he gave like this. So really, these layers I have to peel and put aside. So if I take and put aside, can I really put aside like this? It takes a lot to really look into and put aside. That's not it, right? They say like this, Viveka is you take the shabala, right? You take the impurity, the garbage, you put it in the garbage can. That's Viveka, put it into the garbage can. Right? Vairagya is taking the garbage can and dumping it outside in the dumpster. Because I can put it there, but I still haven't. You know, you put things aside, like we have a box for Salvation Army like this, and then it just sits there, meaning I haven't totally gotten it. It's still there. But Vairagya is, yes, I really see the uselessness of it and put it aside like this. So Viveka and Vairagya, this way, I need it for it, okay? So in this way. Now what happens? One of the reasons, very important, this vachyadatta and lakshyadatta, the implied meaning, direct meaning. When it's the direct meaning, meaning that I say and then I know what it is because it's direct. Right? Like you say, this is a Tesla car Model T or Model S. I think Model S is what they call it. Do they have a Model T? Because Model T was the original car, no? The original that Ford made, no? So the model, I know this is that one. 2027 Model S Tesla. I'm assuming there's a Model S 2027. I don't know. That must be coming out. I see now, I know. Meaning now there's a concept in the mind. Right? The moment that it's a concept, now I'm there, now I'm holding on to it. So now it's come to an end, and it has to have, the moment I made that conclusion, meaning that it's something, a substance meaning, idea that's now in my mind. Now the meaning, it has to have some attribute, that it has an attribute, meaning it has name form meaning anything through senses, it has some way to measure, some way to comprehend, and then it's finished, your conclusion, that's it. But when you make conclusions about yourself like this, then meaning, I'm something that I can hold on to. The fact that I can hold on to, meaning how can I hold on to it? Through the mind. Meaning it's something limited. So that's why the direct meaning can never work here, because the direct meaning just brings you to an end of the inquiry, finished. And the thing is, the mind will want to hold on to something. That's the thing, is the mind wants to hold on to something, it doesn't want to let go. So we have ideas and that's it. It's not easy to look beyond them. It's like my body to look a little beyond, maybe, but my ideas that form my world aren't as easy to look beyond. Right? These people are mine, these aren't mine. Because, you know, I'm generations of that, these are my people, those aren't my people, because these are our ways, theirs are strange. Right? They are enemies, like this. Right? Or because we do like this, other people do like that. Very hard to look beyond this. Right? This conditioning. So many conditionings like this, so to drop and look beyond is not easy. So what happens then is, when you look at lakshyartha, it's as though open-ended. Open-ended, not meaning, oh, okay, I'll just leave it. I can't look into it. Just maybe it's something, just leave it as some wishy-washy thing. It's not that. It's that I am looking and discarding what it cannot be. That's the important thing, why these two verses are going together. How I get to the lakshyartha, I put aside what it cannot be. Like in this room, there are a lot of things. I want to point out, what is the space? Right? So I want to explain to somebody, what is the space? Okay, look here, look in the sky. There are 100 stars, and there are a few planets, and there's some asteroids, there's the sun, right? Maybe a few other things. Put them aside. Now the space is there. Oh, I don't see what's it. No, that's the space. Put it aside. Just the space remains. No, I don't see. You don't see it. But when you remove everything else, space is there. And you know space is there because when you put two objects, there's a distance between them. So meaning something is there, but not something that you grasp through the senses. It's that which is there when you remove everything else. It accommodates everything but untouched by anything. So you do that on yourself that you negate. And it's very clear when it's all negated. What we say, what is Atma? It's abaditvam. Abaditvam, that which cannot be negated. You negate everything else, only that's left. There's nothing else to negate. There's nobody to negate anything anyway then, right? The negator gets negated along with it. Like, a this theoretical thing that the snake goes and starts swallowing its tail, right? So it starts swallowing. It's a 2-foot snake. It swallows 1 inch, 2 inches, half a foot. Starts swallowing, what happens when it swallows all the way to the end? Gone. Negates itself. So in this way, the inquirer itself, the one who's looking to it, gets negated on its own. Meaning the one who, the doubt gets resolved. The question, what am I, what's this, gets resolved because there's nothing to ask them. There's no question about it. Because question will be in the mind. The mind is looking into it. Then the mind resolves into the awareness, and it's clear I'm not this silly mind that just brings up all these ideas. Just something that appears within the awareness. So in this way, putting aside whatever that's not it, I put aside. I put aside, and then you keep putting aside, and understand through understanding. Like similar as we did our meditation exercise, yogic meditation, pratyahara, focus just in the one thing, and then because I'm so focused, the other things drop. Now, I'm in a wonderful state. But the thing, there's no understanding involved. Meaning, the moment the mind goes out to the senses again, now what? Now I have to deal with the silly world again. I want to go more into my samadhi like this. And they say it, they say that one of the side effects that can be of that type of practice is you can build up a bit of a temper because I love to be in that state, but when not, it kind of can overwhelm me. It could be a side effect, could happen to some, maybe not to others. But here, through understanding, then whether the thing is there or not, it doesn't matter because I understand that it's not the essential thing. So just as I do it for myself, I inquire into myself and I put aside body, I put away aside senses, thought, all these things putting aside. Same way, the unessentials for that have to be put aside. So if it's the religious mindset, yes, the God, but put away the form of the God. Right? The God has this form. Put that aside. And the God has that, this name. Put the name aside too. Some people know the name is holy. How can you do that? That's where the attachment is there. Yes, the name has brought you somewhere, but who is the named one? Right? You have a certain name. Are you the name, or are you the one who the name is pointing to? Which one are you? Right? Are you that name? Yes, then the name melds with you because of habit. It's been for, since you're small, you're hearing it, you identify it. So much so you have a pet, it'll also identify with the name too, right? Like this. So it's just ingrained in the mind. But the thing is, who is the named? It's the one behind, it's not the one who named itself. Right? So it can't be the name. Right? We give the name. Right? You give the name to the God, now that's the God. So the name, the form, not this. Because for the religious mindset, and any function that you may think the God has, creator, creatress, that's okay. That's again a function. I know for myself, I'm beyond just the function. No, I'm an engineer, I've been doing it for so many years, I'm a doctor, I'm this. Well, then I'm a retired physician. Right? Living in Uttarakashi, this house, person used to live there. And so it said, retired high court advocate, this. I want to hold on to that too. Like this. So in this way, any function also is there temporarily. I'm there whether the function is there or not. So the God worked very hard, made a blueprint for the world. work very hard created the world. 6 days of very hard work, and thank God for the unions is a weekend. And so had sat. What is sat? Sabbath is to rest, or to sit to rest, and that's what it comes from the root of the word. And so got to go home and rest, right? So now, the God is now working in creation. So if the God is creator, has to be always creating, but no, not creating now, meaning the function is not the essence, the substance. So this way, this whole thing, just saying that all these ideas of the God can be very nice at the beginning, but then they have to be put aside to look at the essence. Okay, but I want to see the God, right? Vision of the God. Well, anything you see, again, is some form. The form, the substance isn't the form. Look beyond the form. So you have to drop the form, right? I want to hear the mantra, so I hear that. Also, to put aside the hearing, the substance, what I hear something, what is the substance behind it is not the sound, not the hearing itself. So all the senses like this have to be put aside, perception, right? The thoughts of the God can think, but then those thoughts also have to subside. So in this way, when I'm looking at that, also all the things that could be attributes of them need to be put aside. Okay. Adi Guru Shankara, in his commentary in the Ishavasya Upanishad, he has a nice example that he gives. He says that somebody is walking home. They went somewhere to do some sort of worship. So in their bag they have this piece of sandalwood. And what you do, in a lot of places, I don't know if they do everywhere, in Odisha they do that, maybe they do South India, you have a piece of sandalwood and you have something that you rub it against. But we have it in the house, because my wife used to like to do it, a flat stone that's a little rough, and then you put a little water, you take the sandalwood stick, you know, like a thick stick of it, and you rub it, and then it comes off, and then because some paste builds up. And the nice thing, it's very fresh. So a very nice smell. And then you do it with worship, or you put it on your fire. Do you have that also, you guys, in the temples, I think? Yeah. So in this way. So the person that sandalwood piece. And sandalwood has a very nice odor. So in the bag, it's something for worship, including that. And as he's walking, the bag opened, and that fell out and fell into the sewer. All right. Now he takes it. It's something. It's not easy to find, it's costly, so can't just leave it, so he takes it. Now it doesn't smell good, right? Now he's not going to just throw it out, because it's costly and it's also used for worship and everything. So he takes it and goes to some clean water and washes it really, really well. Now, of course, what happens is some of that gets absorbed in, so still the smell, it's a little better, but the smell is still not very good, still not there. So he goes and takes some sandpaper and sands it all around on all the sides. Does this slowly, slowly, till it does on all sides. Now the fragrance is there again. Now, did his cleaning the sandalwood piece, his cleaning and rubbing it, did that create the smell, the nice smell of the sandalwood? No, it's natural to the sandalwood. That's its nature. It just was covered by muck from the sewer and from some that on the external layer got, some of the sewage water got in on the external layer. That's what brought the bad smell. But the essence of it, but the smell is there, was just covered like this. Same way, what I am like this, just covered by these, we say the koshas, they're ideas. Like one thing is some group in one of the ashrams, I know this, sometime they had a workshop, they were discussing, okay, we have to purify the koshas, asana for the anamaya kosha, the physical body, pranayama for the energy body, right, for pranayama kosha, and then I think they do japa or something like this, they say for manomaya kosha, and then inquirement, like this, they're saying different things. It's true, for balancing those, it's useful. But Vedanta is not purifying them. We look at the koshas in order to know anattas. You want to keep them healthy, balanced, so do these things. It's good. It keeps them healthy. And of course, more healthy, more balanced, easier to look into these things. But the thing is, the koshas are looked into in Vedanta not in order to say, okay, you need to do these things to purify, to take care of them. Not for that. That in order to understand that there are layers, that you're what's beyond them. That's not what I am. Like this. So in this way, we have to look more and more closer like this, okay? So this is what's being pointed out here. Now, one thing here also is that when you remove things more and more, I remove these qualities or impurities from myself, then I inquire into that, the totality, to Brahman, I remove these from that, then you're not going to find the difference. As you keep, the more and more you remove, the less and less, you will see that there is a difference. So, you remove them fully, there's no difference. Just a seeming difference between them. This is what the teachings point out. And the amazing thing is, it really does it. It really does. We need to look into, as we're doing, and then we also need to have the mental purity. This is very important. Chitta Shuddhi. For that Viveka Vairagya Shatsampat and Mumukshutam, the fourfold means for liberation, this developing those, and how we develop, you know, through this inquiry, through living life as Karma Yoga. That's very essential, because you can see it very clearly some of the time, but it goes away due to habit, and also because those so-called mental impurities are there, that I haven't, that those get in the way. This is what happens. Which is an interesting thing, which is pointed out. You can be a brilliant teacher of something else, or scientist, or artist, really brilliant in that field, really clear, really even teach some of the thing very well, explain it very well. Vedanta also can explain well. But you can, without having that same level of, without having the chitta shuddhi, right? Somebody will give wonderful lectures on physics and everything, but they have very strong ideas, very strong identification, and all these things. Good work, no problem. But here, to have the clarity of it, real clarity, it won't stand otherwise. Because those are coming due to my identification. Right? I'm judgmental, I'm impatient, or, you know, I've strong idea about my physical body, all these things, like asanas. Oh, I'm the very flexible one. I want to keep it like that. I'm the one who can do these asanas like this. These things, they're due to the identification. They get in the way. So without helping to look into this, without overcoming those, you can't see this. So that's what pulls us away from it. So that's why we discussed in some of the classes a lot about this. How important this is, okay? The preparation, if you want. So like this. So with a little bit of time remaining, since we're talking about removing these attributes, there's one very interesting thing. This I mentioned different classes, and I said we'll take some time in one of the classes, because I don't like that as a student, as I said, I never like when the teacher says, oh, there's this important point. Yeah, we'll look into it sometime, and that sometime never comes. So I didn't want to leave it hanging like that. So this thing that we had discussed at some point when we studied Panchadashi during the pandemic some years back. Some of you will probably still hear them. And of course you remember very clearly everything. I had to look it up. I don't remember the details of this. But this is a nice point. Where this point was brought up actually to show how saying that that you as Atma, or that the totality, that it has some sort of attribute, is not logically sound. You cannot prove that that it has an attribute, that Atma has an attribute, Brahman has an attribute. And this actually was used in Prachodashi just in order to show that logic, you can't just use logic, because in order to negate the idea of logic, because logic is a tool, but logic, you can prove it, with enough logic you can prove different things. It's not the sub, you can argue this or argue that. So in any case, it's a very interesting small argument which shows how you can't pin the, how are you going to pin the substance with the with an attribute. So very interesting. Let's see if we can explain it like this. So we'll try to look into that in a few minutes. It's very interesting, and I find it very insightful, even though it was used just for negating the logician's view. And there wasn't the main argument. Later went into other arguments, but like this. So if you have a substance, S is the substance, so substance meaning the pure substance. So you removed all the attributes from it, the Atma Brahman, pure substance. Now you say the substance has an attribute. You want to pin the attribute now is connected to the substance, right? So you add an attribute. So I add A1. A1 is one attribute. I add it to it. Now, okay, so now Atma has, or Brahman, you say Brahman, that which is before the whole world created, so no name, no form, this, now you it got some sort of attribute. So now what happens is, okay, so that which is before the creation, without name, without form, without attribute, now it has an attribute. Because creation started, now it's starting to become creation, so some attribute has to be there for creation to come. Now you say, okay, so does this attribute then, now this attribute is pinned onto attributeless. So how can attributeless now have attribute? That's a contradiction to begin with, right? I'm saying there's an attributeless and I'm connecting attribute to it. How are you going to do that? So an attribute cannot connect to attributeless, like trying to pin something onto the space. Right? Let me pin something onto the space. Let me tie something onto it. How are you going to do it? So now you're going to pin something onto the space, onto the Brahman, and it'll become the world. How are you going to do that? So that's one thing. You say, no, you cannot do that. How are you going to do it? So you say, okay, well, if the attribute cannot lead on that, it needs something else to have substance. Kind of like we say, you have Brahman and Maya. After Brahman and Maya, then slowly the creation can come. So pin it on some substance with an attribute. So we say, okay, so what does A1 we say it's going to rest on something, connect to something. So we say, if we say it connects to the substance with the attribute, now that one is what's called self-dependence. Like, I will stand on my own shoulders. I can stand on your shoulders, but you know, in Cirque du Soleil they can do that. You can sit on somebody's lap, but you can't sit on your own lap. How will the attribute, Maya, where does it come from? Well, Maya leans on Brahman with Maya. Come on. That means Maya, it doesn't make sense. So when you try to pin the attribute like that, you'll say, it doesn't work. Right? How one cannot depend on itself, self-dependence. It doesn't work. Because an attribute is something can be added, can be removed. The blue pot, you have a blue vase, the blueness is dependent on the vase. Without the vase, there's no blueness. It could also not be blue, right, like this. So this is what happens, is it can't depend on that. So you say, okay, in that case, I'll be very smart, I'll say that attribute A1 leans on the substance that has a different, there's a substance with a different attribute. Brahman with Maya, the space depends on you. Brahman with Maya, then the space comes out of that. It works. That works. Meaning, I can say, okay, the attribute connects to that. The clay, the pot is made out of clay, it's porous, so I can put the paint, it can hold on to the pot, hold on to the clay. Right? You can have the Brahman and with Maya, and now from the Maya, the gunas are there, the space can be born, you know, these things can happen. Okay, that can happen. But now you'll say, okay, what did this A2? Where did how are you going to account for that second attribute A2? So now with this A2 you can have two options. A2 rests on S plus A1. Right? The second attribute on the substance. Attribute, an attribute needs an object. You can't have an attribute blueness. You need an object. So on this, now you have a codependence, right? Cyclic dependence. A1 depends on A2. A2 on A1 doesn't make sense. Right? Here's the unit. There's the universe. Where did the universe come from? Well, it came from the singularity. Oh, really? Where did the singularity come from? It came from the previous universe. Right? Oh, really? And where did that previous universe come from? From a singularity. Circular dependence, meaning that can't be the source. It's a cycle, meaning something is cycling there, and somehow, you know, but it's not the actual base of it. Something else has to be the base. Right? Something else is the base, not those. So the other option, you'll say, okay, if it doesn't work like that, A2 depends on S plus A3, a third attribute. Now you'll say, you get into infinite regression, and A3, on the substance plus A4. A4, substance plus A5. You'll get infinite regression where there's no, you can't get to the bottom of it. This creation is here because of previous creation, previous because of the previous one, previous because of previous, never ends. You'll never get to anything. So this is just a little bit of logic, but if you think of it, we say there's the Brahman, the infinite, the God, unchanging behind everything. Okay, connect, how are you going to give it now, attributeless? Ekam eva advitiyam. Before the world is created, there's one without a second. How does it come out of there? Somehow it comes out. Well, let's look into how it can come out. The world, meaning attributes, came out of that one. How can some attribute, any explanation you give for an attribute connected to that cannot make any sense, any logic? How can it make sense? Any of those things, as we said, attributeless, and you can't attach an attribute to it. So let's say it has a Maya, that there's some attribute. And then again, if you say, well, how does Maya happen? Because it's Brahman with some other attribute and they're codependent, all these things. You can't connect it to that. Same with myself. I'm pure awareness. I'm aware. Now there's thought there, right? How do I connect it to myself? Actually, what I do, I connect the thought to myself and the seeing to myself and this, and I kind of connect all of those together. And then I build an idea of myself. Somehow, logically, I put these things together. But when I look at it closely, they can't connect to I, the awareness. There's no connection. But I say, well, I see and I think, so they go together, so it must be. It must be that that's me. Where if I really look at myself as awareness and these, there's no way to connect them. You can't connect these to self. That's how we talked last week about being non-doer. I'm not the doer, I'm a karta. We connect the idea of I'm doer to myself, and then I connect myself to everything else. All the other things I connect it. But if you really analyze closely, I'm aware, you do actions that you're aware. As you do the actions, none of that connect to you. If it connected, it connects you out of not seeing things clearly, out of delusion. It's because we didn't look at it closely. Because I take attributes I put on myself without first inquiring, is that really myself? And if you're really aware, you're aware and you're aware things are happening. Now to see that thing that I'm not doing, as Roy brought up when we were discussing last class, without some karma, if I'm doing as in order to get to something with expectation, it's much harder to see through it. Because now I'm a doer and enjoyer and expecting, etc. So that's why karma yoga, I'm not doing with expectation, just doing the needed without expectation. I'm just doer. Then it makes it much easier. Now I'm aware because I'm not worried about what will happen from the action, what will be the result. I'm just doing as needed. Then it's easier to look to see that I'm the, not to link the things to me. Otherwise, I'm tying too many things. I'm kind of making them very, this chart that I made, a very complex chart and trying to unravel. We make it simpler, now it's easier to see that. So, this is the interesting thing. The idea that I as Atma have attributes is a logical fallacy. The idea that what is behind everything has some attributes linked to it is also a fallacy. It can only be, the connection can only be due to, you know, to misunderstanding, not seeing clearly. And so the logical fallacy also has its direct implication like this, that when I see I'm awareness, you can see that you can't really link anything to it. You link things to it out of not inquiring, not looking into it closely enough. This is really how we link it to that. How I link to it. I just take it as it is, face value. So that's where this little thing shows that if you really look into yourself, you cannot find you have any attributes. The attributes cannot be yours as the awareful being. It just doesn't work like this. So it just breaks them off like that. Okay? So this is how that you cannot really have any attributes, but Brahman cannot have attributes. It does not make sense, and if you look into it closely, see it just does not work. So I hope this makes some sense. If not, we can, you know, scratch our head a little and everything. But when I was looking into this, I found it very insightful like this. It's really quite something, because it's logic, but you look at yourself. And the thing is, we say we're logical beings, but we're really more, as an individual, emotional beings. If we really look with logic like this, we can drop these things easily. Right? Logic isn't everything. Logic won't get to the truth, but it can help to drop off misnomers. It can help. Logic will help drop off misnomers. What you are is not logic, but the logic is a tool that can be used. And logic you can use also to fight against it. There are people that are very smart and they're very miserable because they use the logic against these things instead of along with it. So, because in the end, what we are is not logic, but logic is a great tool. A tool we use. So we say use it along the lines of Shastra. Use it. You do the inquiry. Use the logic along it that helps to break it. Like here, this logic was used along the lines to help to break the idea that none of the attributes can really be mine. Right? So it's used, but what I am is not nothing to do with logic. But the logic helps to, with some logic, I help to drop the misnomers like this. And then seeing that that's not, that those attributes aren't me isn't logic. It's just, I'm aware. How can that be mine? Some small thing which I thought went very nicely where we're at, because saying you have to put aside all of the attributes, then pure awareness is there. So let's finish with that for today.
Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnamevavashishyate. Om Shanti Shanti Shanti. Okay.
it. So if there's any important question we can take up, otherwise we're finished for the day.
You hurt my brain. But so, so with logic, so we can show that, you know, we can't explain how the world, so attributes come out of one. So we cannot show that with logic. Logic will disprove that. But so what do we say then? That the world is one with Brahman, or the world is not existent? I mean, you know, it's like, what is it then if it's not?
Well, what do you do when you wake up in the morning? What do you do about the dream? Is the dream something else, or the dream was just, you know, was non-substantial, right? It was not. It was illusion. It was non-substantial. You negate it because you see that it doesn't have a substance. So it'd be the same thing. If I'm the awareness, and everything here cannot touch, cannot have anything with to do with it, what is it? You know, it's the snake. It's still the snake. The rope still looks like a snake. Well, it looks like a snake like this. Because if it's clear that you're the awareness and nothing can touch it, then what else can it be? It can only be an appearance like that. So the thing is, but if you really knock it off from the awareness, then it's clear. When that's not clear, then it seems there's some connection with it, so it gives it a reality like that. So that's how it goes. Also, this thing we talked back then, and it takes some to look into, like we brought it up. You look into it, because the thing is, the logic is there, but you have to look into and see with yourself how you cannot connect any attribute to yourself. Because if there's an attribute, it means you're aware of it. You're the awareness, you're not that. So you have to show yourself like this, that attribute cannot be you. Cannot. And then it'll, you know, then it'll get negated by itself. Its substantiality will go away, just like you didn't. You didn't have to think about the dream to negate it. It got negated by itself by your when you wake up. So same way, then these things will drop off. Very good. So we'll continue next time. Have a good week.